We've got Captain Bobby Abruscato on for the rest of this show today, and I'm glad to have you so we can talk a little bit longer than we usually do. Bobby, how you doing?
Man, it always goes by so fast. I don't know. It seems like it does anyway, but I'm doing good, man. How about you guys?
Well, we're doing good. You know, there's a lot of interest
except that you're trapped in the studio on turkey hunting season.
No,
right?
No, I went this morning, yeah. Bobby.
Yeah. Did you? Let me ask you this. Did you hunt or did you kill?
I hunted.
I hear you. Yeah. I have some of those fishing days.
Well, there's a lot of interest in inshore fishing all over Alabama. You know, we have a great fishery down here along our coast and inshore rivers and bays and bayous. So I wanted to get sort of in-depth with you today about some tactics and things that could help our listeners catch more fish and have a better time.
Well, and, you know, and to your comment there, you're right. We do have a great fishery here. And I probably have said this before on the show, but I'm going to say it again because I truly believe, and matter of fact, I know that our trout fishery in particular in Alabama, on the Alabama Gulf Coast, I would put against any trout fishery, you know, per square mile in the country. I fish, you know, from South Texas to South Florida and on the East Coast. And, man, we got a great fishery. I mean, we really have a great fishery here. And, you know, it's improved. It could probably still improve. It can always improve, but we have a good one. So you're right to your point about having great fishery.
And you know, a lot of that is owed to our fishermen. Our anglers, for the most part, will catch a big trout, take a picture, and let that thing go because, as you know, those big trout, those gator trout, that's the ones who lay the eggs.
That's exactly right. The bigger trout, you know, you're rarely catch male trout bigger than about 20 inches. That's actually a giant male trout. But the females, you know, continue to grow. And, you know, any of those big ones, like you said, are big females. And there's been talk, you know, in the past, or I've heard that, you know, they said, well, when they get to a certain age, like humans, they don't spawn. I don't know if we... Spawn is kind of an odd thing when you start talking about humans, but anyway, but that's not the case with trout, or really with any fish. The bigger the fish, the bigger the female, the more eggs she lays. You know, and like you just said, the other thing that's interesting about what you just said when you're talking about releasing big trout, and you guys remember this too, is that was probably, you know, not unheard of, but very uncommon years ago. You know, people would just automatically throw those big fish in the box and then, you know, bring them to the dock and show them off and clean them. And, you know, and a lot of times end up just giving them away. Whereas nowadays, I think it's probably more to the other side along with what you're talking about or what you just said, to where people are saying, boy, this is a great one to take a picture of and let go. And it's not that uncommon anymore. It's actually more of the norm now to release the big female trout or the big trout and just see if you're going to keep some. And even keep some just to eat fresh because they don't freeze that well. So people are doing that. I know at least on my boat that goes on a lot, and it's not just my boat; it goes on a lot everywhere. People are doing that more and more, and you know, and it's part of the education process that we, you know, I would like to say we all have done to kind of bring that about, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody has a problem with anybody doing what makes them happy within the law. And I think it's something, as you grow as an angler, you'll you kind of self-impose limits. Alan was talking earlier about they have a self-imposed three turkey limit. Now, tell people what you do on your boat.
Well, my boat, I've been doing it for a number of years. Is I only allow five trout per person on my boat to be killed, with none of those being over 20 inches, and I don't allow any redfish at all to be killed. And then, you know, so I keep it at that. And it's just something I decided to do a number of years ago. And, you know, the great part about it is when I get calls for charters, I could probably count on three fingers, and certainly on one hand, in the years that I've been doing that, the charters that I've actually lost, where people say, well, you know, we want to keep what we catch. So, you know, I'm kind of glad that the people that I have the opportunity to take fishing, you know, understand that. And there's very, you know, even when we get on the boat, if it hadn't been gone over, there's very little discussion. Well, there's no discussion of it because we're not going to do it, but that's what I do, you know. And then, you know, what you were talking about too, one thing you said, Joe, too, that I wanted to mention when you were talking about, you know, people are doing it by choice. you know, our marine resources people, I have all the faith in the world in them. And, you know, when they decide that it's time to change, you know, a size or a creel limit, you know, or if one doesn't need to be changed, I'm all for it. But I still think, you know, I know what I could do to a fishery, you know, fishing as much as I do, what I could do to it and what a lot of other people could do to it if we weren't, you know, conservation minded. So, right. I think, you know, it's, that's why it's all the more important to not only do it ourselves, but to educate people to do it. And I think that's, you know, to what we just started this discussion about is that's what a lot of that is, what's going on. It's just that whole education process.
Well, it's kudos to you for self-imposing that. And I know I've come from the charter fishing industry, and I personally don't know a single charter fisherman who isn't interested in conserving the resource. I mean, they make their living off of it. If it's gone, they can't make money. So it's good to see you do that. And you probably spend more time in our waters than anybody on as much time as anybody else. And if you do that, I respect that. But anyway, you know, let's talk a little bit. We're coming into my personal favorite time of the year. These trout are getting close.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the end of turkey hunting season, so you could now go trout fishing.
No, if turkey season lasted any longer than it does, I know I and many others would be divorced and, you know, probably start to do some fairly lucid things from sleep deprivation and whatnot. But
unemployed.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm telling you, man, I just love you turkey hunters. I tell you, you guys, I think, are about the only guys that are more intense about your passion than us trout guys. I'm telling you.
It's a sickness. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But but you're pretty passionate about wade fishing. So
you're right about that.
Let's talk. Yeah. We got some time. Let's talk a little bit in depth about wade fishing. I want to know, you know, let's talk about how you approach a morning of wade fishing. If I'm running down, we got miles and miles of beaches, where do I start?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing I do, the very first thing I do when I'm planning a wade trip is look at the wind direction. You know, you can't, for example, you know, one of my favorite places in the world to fish, wade, and especially to wade, is the West End, particularly the West End Inside Beach. It's where I grew up fishing. We used to take a four-wheel drive, and you guys remember that, when you could actually drive down there.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely brought a boat, and our whole deal was wade fishing down there. And so what I do, for example, when we're talking about that West End grass flats, I would love to fish that every time. But if you had a whistling north wind, obviously you're not going to be able to fish down there. Whereas you get, like today, I'm standing here, just finished up the trip, and it's blowing out of southeast. It's perfect down there, you know. So the first thing I look at is, even if I want to go to a certain place and I know there's fish there, sometimes you have to sacrifice that based on the wind direction. Because you start wade fishing a beach like that, for example, trying to cast into a north wind, you're just not going to be effective, you know. So you have to, that's the very first thing I do, is look at that wind direction. And the great thing about, or another great thing about our fishery is, and I really can speak more to Mobile County than Baldwin County, but there's a lot of places when you start going around Mobile Bay on the Mobile County side, around through the north end of the Mississippi Sound, you know, towards the western side of Mobile County, where you're talking about places like Coden Beach and Bila Battery, and then up the bay when you start going up from, say, like Cedar Point up north. There's a lot of access to the water there where you can go based on the wind direction and go wade. Now, mm-hmm. again, it might not be your ideal place, but if you're trying to fish a 15 or 20 knot north wind on the West End grass flats, you're in for a long wade trip.
Well, you know? Correct me if I'm wrong. And what I'm hearing you say is, I mean, number one, find a protected spot. Number two, success is probably going to be more dependent on the amount of ground you can cover with your rod and reel than necessarily any particular spot.
Right, that's exactly right. In other words, there could be a ton of fish in an area, but if you're not fishing it effectively, you're just not going to catch them, you know. So
right.
You kind of have to take that into account. So that's the very first thing I do is figure out what's going to happen. Now, you know, might be my plan B or my plan C or that kind of thing, but you know, that's the first thing I do. And then of course you have to know that there's, so you can't just say, okay, the wind's blowing out of the west, I'm going to go wade up the bay. You have to know that there's some fish there, you know, and, mm-hmm. and especially that there's some shallow water fish. You know, if you try to do that on a, you know, a December, January day, you know, you're just not going to catch anything. You have to know, like, from this time of the year on through the summer that there's going to be some fish in a certain area before you go wade there. But that's what you have to do is kind of factor in how you're going to be able to present the bait, be effective fishing. And the whole idea with wade, well, the two big things with wade fishing is, one is the stealthiness of doing it. That's the big thing. But the other thing is, like you just mentioned, too, is you got to be able to cover ground, too, because it's, you know, you're not going to be fishing standing next to a piece of structure casting when you're wade fishing. You're going to be covering a lot of featureless water, which is the other whole point of wade fishing. You can do all that, you know, stealthily and cover some water. So that's part of the deal, too.
We've been talking with Captain Bobby Abiscato and talking about some wade fishing. Bobby, you mentioned several important things that you do to make your trip a little more successful, wind direction and so forth. But you mentioned being stealthy, and I want you to elaborate on that.
Well, I'll tell you something. One of the things I tell my clients when we get in the water is the whole idea behind that is being quiet. That's the whole idea, is being able to catch some fish in some really shallow water. So the whole idea is you don't want to just go sloshing through the water when you're wading. And backing up just a little bit, you know, versus say being in a boat, you know, you might think you're quiet in a boat. But there, you know, when you get the waves slapping on the hull and you're moving ice chests around and tackle boxes and so forth, all that sound transmits through the water very well, especially when you're in shallow water. So when you get in that water, I mean, you've just eliminated all of that. And so, you know, the whole idea of being stealthy also means that, like I was talking about, when you go moving through that water, you don't want to be sloshing through that water, moving real fast. When I wade fish, you know, I consider myself fishing really fast, but I'm still kind of barely moving along, almost where you don't detect a wake behind you. And the other thing I tell, and this kind of, I do this kind of in a, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but kind of in a way to make them slow down, is there's always concern about stepping on stingrays and when you're wade fishing. And I always tell them, they'll get out of your way as long as you move slow. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
What I'm trying to do is get them to move real slow.
Yeah.
So that I tell them, so you don't step on a stingray. But my ulterior motive is truly not wanting them to step on a stingray. But the other thing is I want them moving real slow, you know, constantly moving, but moving real slow, you know. So that tends to get them to slow down a little bit, because they say, oh, if I go too fast, I'm going to step on a stingray.
Bobby,
you know, and you really do need to move slow when you're doing that, especially if there are a lot of stingrays in the water.
Do you slide your feet along the bottom, or do you step?
I should. I don't. I kind of start thinking, you really should. You really should kind of just shuffle your feet. And that moves them out of the way. You know, if you do happen to bump one, they'll move out of the way. But, you know, typically if you see them in the water, you know, if you're moving, and I do almost like you'd normally be walking, but I'm walking real slow. And if you've ever seen them, they start moving when you're 10 feet away they pick up on you and they start moving. Every once in a while you get that ornery one that just starts fluttering his wings and won't move, and you just touch him with the rod and they'll usually move off. But,
well,
you know, the ideal thing, and I would highly recommend that you do if you're wade fishing, is to just kind of shuffle your feet. That'll also slow you down just a little bit.
When I see one close to me, I always, you know, have no trouble at all, because when I scream like a little girl, they always run away.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they'll do that too. The other thing is, and I think it's their spawning activity, they really concentrate right on the wave breaks, right on the break where the water's breaking on the beach. So the other thing I always caution people is, you know, you really be real careful when you're getting in the water and getting out of the water. You know, most of the time when you're moving along, they're getting out of the way. And I've been wade fishing since I was a kid, and I've been stung twice. Once the classic way of actually stepping on one, and it wasn't a race fault, and the other way is another stupid thing I did. But typically it doesn't happen unless you do something really stupid, you know.
Well, the stealth is important, especially for my father, if he's listening. You hear that, Emery? You know, you got to be quiet when you're getting out of the boat. You know, you can't just throw that anchor out there. But anyway,
and on that subject too, talking about the boat, and with that, Joe, I see this happen. I've seen people go to wade fish and they put their anchor out, whether they ease it over or throw it, and then they stand right next to the boat and fish. It doesn't, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
You're standing right next to the
right.
boat. So, you know, if I have a target area that I want to wade, you know, I'm putting the boat a minimum of 100 yards from the spot that where I really the bar system or whatever it is I want to fish. I put the boat way away from it just so they're not picking, you know, the fish aren't picking up on any of that. You know, and you still, and usually I'll get out of the water and walk 50 yards and then get in the water, you know, but the whole idea with it is to be wading. So if you're standing right next to the boat, you're really kind of defeating that purpose.
Well, let me ask you this. I know you've mentioned not running over the area you want to fish, not just with wade fishing, but whether if you're going to do a drift, don't run your boat over the fish that you're about to fish.
That's exactly right.
But let's talk about when you're talking about covering ground, okay? I've heard you talk about doing a leapfrog before. So, you know, you're dropping somebody off, and then you're going down the area you're going to cover and then putting the boat up and getting out yourself. How do you leapfrog without driving right over the fish or the area you're about to – that the person you just dropped out is going to
fish? Well, let's just use, for example, for the West End Beach or any beach for that matter. Let's just say the West End Beach. So let's just say we were wading, there were me, you, Alan, and somebody else. I'd get two of us would jump out of the boat, and then the boat would go, you know, that beach runs east to west. The boat would go north for about, you know, a couple hundred yards, get out away from where we're going to be wading, run down a quarter of a mile, pull in, put the anchor out, and then that group would wade down to the boat. The group that, you know, dropped us off would jump out, start wading. When the other group got to the boat, they would get in. And then you go out a ways, and then run down the beach, and then come in. So basically, you're making kind of a square type mm-hmm. of thing. You know what I'm saying? Does it make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, So you don't want to run. You wouldn't run the boat. You wouldn't drop them off and then run parallel to the beach. Immediately run parallel to the beach.
The moral of the story, folks, is don't drive your boat over the fish. Bobby, this has been great. I know I'm getting super excited for wade fishing. Thank you so much for being with us in depth today. Look forward to talking with you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Talk to you next week.